today I'm in Bath with Alison Nelson. So the first question, Alison, is when and where did we first meet?
We first met at a school Christmas fair because our daughters are friends and have been friends for a long time, and that's where we met. I think we were just browsing around looking at things, and the children said, "This is my mum," and you were wearing your Vicar's
was
top.
I?
Yes.
Gosh.
Yes, I was probably rushing off to somewhere else at the time.
I probably was. I try not to wear it in school very much. I must have forgotten.
Yes, you were about to, I think, rushing off to do something else. So it was a quick meet and then you were off.
Yes, I think I was. In fact, I may have been dropping and then running away. I might have been going to another school Christmas fair or even or something like that.
Yeah, in your other role.
In my other role.
As a parent.
As a parent, not a parent, as a parent, as the vicar. All these different hats or uniforms. So our children have been friends since the beginning of secondary school, really.
Yes, I guess is that when Elspeth started, because
she started in year 7.
Edie was before then, so that was good.
Yeah. And that was great, because Edie kind of could show her what to do, so that was, that was really good.
They're very good friends.
So the next question is, do you drink tea?
I most definitely do. We're having a cup of tea as we speak.
I know, it's a really nice cup of tea, actually.
And it is my favourite, which is Builder's PG Tips.
It's really nice, actually. I'm not sure I've had much PG Tips on my travels, so...
I'm not into fancy tea, really. I just like my bog standard tea.
And do you have a favourite cup of tea in the day?
I don't have a cup of tea until I get to work in the morning, and then I have my cup of tea when I sit down to start my work at work. My first cup of tea.
I have to have about 3 cups of tea before I get to that stage.
I try to control myself because I drink a lot of tea in the day at work. Mm. It breaks my day up and gives me something to do.
It's quite good. Well, we're all supposed to stand up and move away from our desks.
That's it. And it's social because we all ask each other if we want tea. So it's like a little social event. And then you go to the kitchen. There's other people from different places. You can have a chat. Also have PG Tips at work.
So the question which I'm asking everybody is, how do you respond to the statement, Christianity in the UK is not dying but sleeping?
Well, that's a very hard question to answer because there's so many types of Christianity. And, I think in some areas it's very strong and in other areas it's not. But maybe that's how it's always been. It's just different people view it in different ways now. Maybe there's more people who consider themselves atheists or humanists or other things, but... still fundamentally come from that same umbrella. I think it's changing, and it needs to change maybe to be more embracing of everybody, which is a good thing. And I think church is a good thing because it's a community thing and it's very important, especially nowadays with people's loneliness. So I hope that it will continue to be strong, but in a positive way, to embrace everybody in communities.
One of the things which we're finding is that almost nothing I can do will get people to come to church on a Sunday morning, but our more community-based events which take place at other times in the week are growing.
Yes.
Which is really important.
I think it's really important, especially with ageing population, loneliness, people lacking that family support. I think there needs to be more and more of that.
So the first really radical thing that I did when I started at Cullerne 6 years ago was I started a Book of Common Prayer Thursday morning service, which used the old-fashioned language. We had... had the service, which is half an hour, doesn't have any hymns. So old-fashioned, same words every week. And then we have tea and coffee after it, and have a chat, have a piece of cake. And we now have, so this week we have 14 people at that service, And sometimes we have 17 people on a Sunday.
Yes.
But it's that community aspect of it, as well as the kind of reflective time, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not just on a Sunday, is it? It needs to be at all times. And often people think, oh, it is a Sunday thing, but it isn't. It's a all the time thing. Mm. And people need help and support all the time.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's one
as
of
you
the,
know.
That's one of the things which we've kind of been working on, is how does that work. But one of the problems is that one of the figures that we're judged on is average Sunday attendance. So I think
that's very hard to be judged on that when you do so much other work.
I think one of the things about this kind of whole project, I think I might actually get onto the church stats department and go, you know, we should be measuring these stuff in different ways and see. It's not just me saying that. Some of the other people that I've interviewed have talked about that. Because one of the issues is that people often don't write down these other things in their service books, so they don't necessarily have the records of it. So,
and also, when you're in a rural area, your community is quite widespread. It's not an easy thing for them just to pop along. And if you're in a sort of a city, your community tends to be much closer, doesn't it? I mean, yours is massive, your area that you cover, and it is not an easy thing for people to do always, or even to get to.
And that's one of the issues. So we have a stupidly large number of services in a sort of geographical area, if you assume that everybody drives and is happy to drive. But a lot of the services that we provide for people are for people who don't drive.
Yes. So that's, and they're often the people that need it most.
Absolutely. Mm. So that's been important for us, both with older people and younger people as well. So the next question, we're going to talk about teenagers.
Yes.
What do you think are the challenges and joys of having teenagers?
Well, I've got two teenagers. They're very different personalities. They're in different stages. One is very jolly but hard work, and one is a little bit more slothy but quite easy. So they're very different challenges for both of them. My son has just finished his A-levels. He is always up to something, and there's always consequences of everything he's up to. He's not naughty. He's just enthusiastic and starts doing things without thinking necessarily about how they're going to work out. So I never know what's going to happen in a day with him. My daughter, on the other hand, sometimes it's quite difficult to get her out of bed. But it's great to see them developing as people, particularly my son at the moment. He's just left school and he is an adult, and I feel he's a good person, and that's all part of the sort of working together through the teenagers, through the bad bits, and there have been some bad bits, and the arguing and him being very cross about things, to now being quite a considered adult who still needs a lot of learning, especially on the sort of understanding of other people and how you work in the world with other people. But it's been a joy to see that development from a sort of angry teenager to a mature teenager.
What I'm finding strange at the moment is this kind of change, particularly I get between sort of 16, 17 and 18, so we're a few weeks off 18, and some of the times absolutely adult, other times can you butter my toast, you know, that kind of and I guess we should expect that, really, because actually adulting is quite hard work.
It is, it's a learning, and they have to go through all the mess. We're going through a lot of messy cooking, which for me, when I get home from work, I think, what am I going to find in the kitchen? But he's learning, and it's good. He's learning skills that he will need to take forwards. But it is quite hard work.
I think I'm already at the stage of thinking, oh no, when they both go, it's going to be quite lonely.
Oh, I think, I don't know. I'm not quite at that stage yet because of E.G. being younger, but Joseph is at a stage where he needs to go, for me and for him. It's not a bad thing. He's just grown up and is now an adult, and he needs to do something else with his life. I don't want him to leave because we argue or anything, because we don't. He just needs something more in his life. But this time last year, I might not have felt that. I didn't feel he was ready. But this now, he's definitely ready to go and do something else with his life. So, but Edie's at the other end, and she's becoming a bit of a moody teenager. So, at least I've only got one at a time being like that.
There's two sayings out there. One is that your baby learns to smile at 6 weeks old, so you don't leave them in the woods. Yeah. And the other one is that teenagers are trouble, so you're happy to kick them out. Well, I'm not sure if that's always true, but I think you see that they're ready to go.
He's not trouble. He just he's ready to go. He's ready to go, and I've done a good job to make him ready to go. I hope I've done a good job. I hope I've given him the right life skills and understandings to get on with life, because that's important.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see how that actually is for people.
Yes, and I don't think he'll disappear. Can't see that. We're a close family, so he'll be back.
Yeah,
most definitely.
The other thing that I wanted to talk to you about was housing. So you work in housing. I think you've worked in housing for a long time.
Quite a long time, yes.
And you were saying about universal credit and get people managing their money. Now, I've heard a lot of really bad things about universal credit, but you were talking about passport to housing. So how does that work and what's good about it?
Well, when universal credit came in, Bath was one of the first places in the country to have universal credit as a test area. And I work for a housing association, and we've done a lot of work with the government about universal credit and how it affects families and how people find it very hard to manage their money, because there's no teaching of money management in schools, and often people will go through generations of coming from families who also haven't managed their money. Historically, with housing benefit being paid directly to the housing association, as long as people have ticked the boxes, their rent has been covered. But that's only one side of people's management of money, and often people think they'll get a tenancy, they'll get money to pay the rent, and then they'll be fine. But they forget that they've also got to pay their council tax, electricity, gas, all their bills, food, all these other things, as well as their general living. And what we were finding with tenancies, especially with universal credit, because they were paid in a lump sum and then they had to pay their rent, they weren't paying their rent because they had to spend that money on other things. And a lot of people just could not manage their tenancies because they just didn't have the skills. So we've set up this system called Passport to Housing, which we go through with people before they have a tenancy, so they're tenancy ready. And we look at all their finances for them. We help them sort debts out. We work with them to talk about what they're spending their money on and what priorities are, and make sure they haven't got anything that's sitting historically that is going to prevent them being rehoused, which is often a problem nowadays, because landlords do not want to house people if they have historic issues, because they become a risk. So it's been very successful. It's been sort of rolled out across other housing associations, and it just gives people a good start when they take on that tenancy of not being alone and being left to not cope with that tenancy if all the bits beforehand have been set out. And universal credit has been very difficult for many people. It may become easier as time goes on with younger people having to deal with it right from the beginning, but a lot of older people who have been put on it, they've never paid their rent, they've never managed their money, and they found it very, very difficult. And once you have a debt, it's very hard to move on from that.
So I actually went to Christians Against Poverty in Bradford, and they were talking there about the money course, one of the things that they do. So they work with people who are in debt and help them and they've got a lot of legal expertise, and they provide counselling and support. But primarily, one of the things that they do is actually say, well, this you've got to spend this on this, and you've got to spend this on this, and you've got to spend this on this. How are you going to do that? And it can be really quite simple things that they put in their money course. So they have a crisp tasting session, and they put stuff, crisps in bowls, and then they say, well, actually, why have you paid a pound for that packet of crisps when that 23 pence packet of crisps costs? It tastes exactly the same.
But it is education of people understanding that, and that people are very brand biased. A lot of people will go towards a brand and not the cost.
Do you find that literacy is still playing a part in people being tenancy ready or not?
Not necessarily. I think it's not literacy as such, but education definitely. It's people are lacking that understanding of finance, how things work, who is responsible, that actually the individual is responsible. It's very hard for lots of people to understand. They always think someone else is going to help them. Well, that's not necessarily the case, and people have to be empowered to help themselves. And that's important, because it gives people a sense of well-being as well if they're empowered to work with their own finances and understand what's happening. Otherwise, it's very hard for people, and it's very hard for people to get out of that situation.
We had we interviewed in one of the schools I was involved with years ago. We interviewed someone for head teacher. And it was in a difficult place, the school. The school was doing really well, but it was the social situation of some of the people that were coming were difficult. And this guy had told us this story previously about his mum had been ill, and he, as a small child, so sort of 5 or 6, he remembers going shopping with his dad while his mum was ill. And she'd written a shopping list, but when they got to the till, they found they didn't have enough money to pay. And later, it sort of twigged that his dad couldn't read. So his dad was picking the brands which had the pictures on them and not the value brands which just had the words. So that's why they'd had to put stuff back, or maybe they'd sent the children back for other things and stuff. But it was his reading that was really holding back his budgeting. I've always been struck by that. I've always been pleased that guy was then appointed head teacher, because I think actually somebody really understands that value of education was a really important person.
More
there
to education than just following the English syllabus, or it is more than that. It's about everyday living. Most importantly, for the majority of people, they need to get by in life and be able to overcome things that come their way by using what they've learned through school and education, if they're not learning it at home.
Yeah. And so the last question is, what is your favourite thing beginning with T?
Well, this is quite a difficult one. I've been thinking about this. I think I've got two things, actually. Well, a cup of tea is always lovely. I love a cup of tea. It's social. You can always have a cup of tea however you're feeling. It's lovely. And I also do like tonic, as in gin and tonic, because for the same reasons, really. And just a social thing. It sort of brings people together. Tea probably more than tonic, but...
Yeah, I've got a friend who I turned up at their house late one evening. I was staying the night and then going on somewhere else. And I went in and he said, so it's late Saturday night, staying over. And he's like, do you want a cup of tea or a gin and tonic? And I gave him that look and he went, both?
Both, yes.
And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I think they go well together.
That was perfect. Yeah. That's great, Alison. Thank you so much for seeing me today.
That's quite a word.